Harold Pinter, 1932-2008. He was the son of a Jewish tailor. He studied at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art, but left to join a drama company as a professional actor. Pinter toured Ireland and England with various acting companies, appearing under the name David Barron. That is, during his initial days, he was acting in the name of David Barron. After 1956, he began to write for the stage. He did a lot of screenplay adaptations. The first one is The Servant, second one, The Go-Between, third one, The French Lieutenant Woman, fourth one, The Trial, fifth one, The Sloth, sixth one, The Last Tycoon, and seventh one is The Handmaid's Tale. He wrote a screenplay for all this work. And he respected Samuel Beckett as a tutor, and in 2005 he won the Nobel Prize for Literature. There are four concepts given by Harold Pinter. First one is two silences, Pinter silence and Pinter pause. That is, Pinter silence is a complete silence for long time, whereas Pinter pause is a silence for short time. This Pinter pause has become a trademark of Pinter's dialogue, where the characters are not speaking on the stage at all, or they leave a pause. The second one is Pinteresque. 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 It's once again a trademark of Pinter, Harold Pinter, where a dialogue that is comically familiar and yet disturbingly unfamiliar. Here a plot featuring reversals and surprises that can be both funny and emotionally moving, and an unconventional ending that leaves at least some questions unresolved. The third concept is comedy of menace. Comedy of Harold Pinter belonged to the group of comedy of menace. The comedy followed by threat or danger. Real life is comedy as it is illogical and goes well until humanity understands the horror of life comes to surface. That is, life is a comedy, but once we understand the horror of life, it becomes a menace. That's a explanation behind comedy of menace. The fourth concept is memory plays. Last few plays of Harold Pinter belong to this category. A memory play is a play in which a lead character narrates the events of the play, which are drawn from character's memory. Let us move on to the works of Harold Pinter. The very first play of Harold Pinter is The Room. It's a short play. It's an example of Pinter's comedy of menace. It's a one-act drama. The play opens up with Rose having a one-person dialogue with her husband, Bert, B-E-R-T. Bert remains silent throughout the entire play, and Rose is now serving him a breakfast fry-up, although the scene appears to occur around evening. That is, she is serving breakfast fry-up in the evening time. Rose talks mostly about the cold weather and keeps comparing the cozy warm room to the dark, damp basement and to the cold weather outside. She creates a sense of uneasiness by the way she talks and acts, always moving from one place to another in the room. Even while sitting, she sits in a rocking chair and rocks. Her speech is filled with many quick subject changes and asks her husband several questions, yet answers them herself. This is a plot of the first play, The Room. The second one is The Dumb Waiter, 1957. It is once again a one-act play. Here there are two hitmen, that is Ben and Gus. Ben and Gus are hired killers. Now they are made to stay in the basement. Ben, the senior member of the team, is reading the newspaper as the play begins, and Gus, the junior member, is tying his shoes. In the back of the room is a dumb waiter who delivers occasional food orders. And this seems to be mysterious for Ben and Gus because the place where they were made to stay is not a restaurant. But at one point, they both got fed up with the instructions from the dumb waiter and they send up some snack food that Gus had brought along. Gus leaves the room to get a drink of water and the dumb waiter is speaking, and Ben listens this time carefully, and he understood that he is supposed to shoot at the person who is going to open the door. Ben shouts for Gus, who is still out of the room. The room the target is supposed to enter from flies open. Ben rounds it on with gun and Gus enters. That is, Ben is given now the orders to shoot at the person whomever is entering the room, and Gus now enters. There is a long silence as the two people stare at each other before the curtain comes down. Now let's move on to the very important work, The Birthday Party. Birthday Party, 1957. It is the first full-length play and it belongs to the group of Harold Pinter's Comedy of Menace. Comedy of Menace and Harold Pinter's play includes elements such as ambiguous identity, confusion of time and place, and dark political symbolism. The Act 1 of the play opens in the living room of a boarding house on an English seaside, Petty, P-E-T-Y. A man in his 60s and one of the owners of the boarding house sits reading his newspaper and eating breakfast. His wife, Meg, helps him run the house. Their life is boring and their conversations are bland. Petty tells Meg that two more men are coming to stay at the house. Stanley, now the only guest in the boarding house, is coming downstairs to take his breakfast. Meg flirts with him after Petty leaves for work, tickling him with a feather duster. Stanley seems annoyed by her advances but doesn't reject her. Now, another character, Lulu, a young woman, arrives with a package. Meg leaves to go shopping, and now Stanley and Lulu had a brief conversation, and Stanley now goes upstairs. The two new men, Goldberg and McCann, arrive at the house, and they both talk to each other seriously about the work that they have to complete. Now Meg arrives and welcomes them, flirting and telling them today is Stanley's birthday. Stanley re-enters the room and interrogates the men about who they are and when they intend to leave. Like that, he got really upset when he hears Goldberg's name and he denies that it's his birthday. That is, he was not very welcoming. To lighten the mood, Meg gives him the package that Lulu bought, and the package contains a toy drum, which was a gift from Meg to Stanley. Now the Act 2. McCann and Goldberg corner Stanley. They interrogate him and begin to verbally abuse him, asking questions about a woman. But Stanley was refusing to reply. And now the party starts off. The characters start to couple up with each other. Lulu with Goldberg, Meg with McCann, and Stanley was alone. The couple's conversations turn sexual, and Meg suggests they play Blind Man's Buff. The Act 3 is parallel to Act 1. It opens with Petty's downstairs reading his newspaper. Meg enters and she was tense that she don't have conflicts to serve for the guest. And Petty tells her it's okay that, and she was also worried about the toy drum being destroyed in yesterday's birthday party. Now Petty convinces her that it is okay that she should leave Stanley sleep. When she begins with her usual chatter, Petty interrupts her and asks her about the groceries, so she leaves for shopping. Goldberg comes downstairs and explains that Stanley had a nervous breakdown at the party and must be taken away immediately. The play closes on Meg and Petty talking. Meg lies to her, telling that Stanley is still asleep, and she tells him that what a nice time she had at the party. And Meg also agrees that the party was really good, and the curtain closes. The next play, which belongs to the Comedy of Menace group, is The Caretaker. It is a second full-length play and it is a classic tragic comedy. And it is a three-act play and consists of three main characters, Aston and Mick, both are brothers. Aston now lives in a house owned by his brother Mick, and Davis, an older man who lives as a tramp. Aston once received electric shock treatment, and the resulting brain damage leaves him isolated and looking for companionship. That is, Aston loves companions. He was very vulnerable to anyone looking to take advantage of his kind spirit. Mick, on the other hand, is short-tempered and ambitious. The play opens. Aston invites Davis home. Aston saved Davis from a bar brawl and wants to look after him. When Davis gets to the flat, the first thing he does is complain about how messy the flat is. Davis always claims that he wants to go to Sidcup to collect his papers to prove his identity. And now Aston gives Davis the job of a caretaker of his house so that he can focus us on making a tent. And now Mick was always suspicious about Davis, and Aston and Mick, they both were really close brothers before, but now they started to fight with each other, and finally they have to tell Davis to get out of their home. This is a story of the caretaker. The next play in the group of Comedy of Menace is A Homecoming, 1965. It's a two-act play, and the speciality of this play is Harold Pinter's first wife, Vivian Merchant. She acted in this play as Ruth. The play won the Tony Award for Best Play in the year 1967. The play is set in North London and has got six characters. Max, he is the head of the family and he was a retired butcher. He lives with his brother and sons. His brother name was Sam, a chauffeur. And Max got three sons, Teddy, Lenny and Joy. Teddy, who appears to be a pimp, and Joy, a would-be boxer. Teddy, who is the eldest son, now works as a philosophy professor in America, and he has now come to meet Max with his wife Ruth. As Ruth is the only female who enters the family, there comes a competition among the men. And this story explores the life of a predominantly male working class family. Finally, Ted has to leave Ruth to look after his sons back in America. The next play is No Man's Land. The No Man's Land is known for the characters, and the characters are named after cricket players. There are four important characters: Hurst, H-I-R-S-T, a man in his 60s, Spooner, a man in his 60s, Foster, a man in his 30s, Briggs, a man in his 40s. And the setting is a large room in a house in a northwest London. The next play is Betrayal, 1978, and the setting is in London and Venice. It involves four characters: Emma, Jerry, Robert and a waiter. Emma and Jerry, both been portrayed as adulterous lovers, they meet and they talk about the past love life. The next play is One for the Road, 1984. It is an overtly political one-act play. The play is noted for unity of time and place. The play takes place in a room in a house during the course of one day, that is morning, afternoon and night. The furniture in the room, a desk and a machine used as a telephone intercom, and the bars on the windows suggest that the room in a domestic house has been converted into an office and that the house functions as a prison. The next play is Mountain Language, which is also a one-act play. One for the Road and The Mountain Language, both the plays are concerned with the acts of interrogation and with language. The next play and the final play of Harold Pinter in this group is Celebration. The plot revolves around three couples dining in the most expensive restaurant in town. At one table are two brothers, Lambert and Matt, and two sisters, Prue and Julie. Lambert and Julie are married, same as Matt and Prue. They are all celebrating Lambert and Julie's wedding anniversary. And on another seat are seated Russell and Suki, who later join these couples for the party. The play ends with a mysterious speech from the waiter, which hints at a possible way to escape the pain of everyday life.